Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to amagimetals.com and check them out. That's amagimetals.com. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report. Today is Tuesday, March 18th. This is your host, Austin Peterson, here with my co-host, Ian. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Austin. Good. Welcome back to you.
Welcome back to me. I'm back. If you were here last week listening to the podcast, and we know about 1,000 of you are, because we have been tracking all sorts of fantastic numbers on our podcast downloads, then you were listening to our CPAC recordings, and I hope you enjoyed those. Write in, tell us which one you like the best and why. Although we did have a story that we covered about a week and a half ago that just absolutely exploded. It was about what was the title of the piece that we've had that we went viral?
Oh, which one? We had a few,
but it was the one about not birth control. It was about men being exempt from
men and child support. Yes.
So, you know, we saw that one went viral because we took a controversial stance on that one. But we try not to just shock and offend here. We try to, you know, actually educate people about the issues.
Well, I think the reason that podcast did so well is people were interested in exploring this topic that they haven't heard explored before.
Well, no one had ever, had the guts to come out and say men should not be required to pay child support if we're already required to pay for abortions.
Don't hear it very often.
You don't hear that often. So anyways, we thought that was interesting, and I know you certainly did, because you guys, a lot of you listened to it, and hopefully the new listeners that we picked up by that have stuck around and are ready today to talk about an issue that's very important to people who believe in limited government, and that is the issue of the Civil War in the Republican Party, specifically the battle between Thomas Sowell and Ted Cruz. This is from an op-ed in the New York Post today that Thomas Sowell wrote, not specifically saying Ted Cruz, but there was a picture of Ted Cruz, and it's pretty understood of who he's talking about.
And he did single out Ted Cruz in the previous piece he wrote, which was similar to this.
Exactly. So listen to this. At a time when polls show public opinion turning against the Democrats, some Republicans seem to be turning against each other. Even with the prospect of being able to win control of the Senate in this fall's election, some Republicans are busy manufacturing ammunition for their own circular firing squad. A Republican faction's demonization of their own Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is a classic example. If you listen to some of those who consider themselves the only true conservatives, you'd never guess that Mitch McConnell received a lifetime 90% ranking by the American Conservative Union, and in one recent year, he had a 100% ranking. Ann Coulter, whose conservative credentials nobody has challenged, points out McConnell has not only led the fight for conservative principles repeatedly, but has been to the right of Ted Cruz on immigration issues, which, what does that even mean? Anyways, President Obama has nearly 3 more years to continue doing irreparable damage to the fundamental basis of American government and Americans' freedom. Only Republican control of the Senate can rein in the lawless Obama administration, which can otherwise load up the federal courts with lawless judges who will be dismantling the rule of law and destroying the rights of people for decades. So he goes on and says, only GOP control of both houses of Congress can repeal or revise Obamacare, and only GOP control of houses can stop the White House from initiating their reckless policies. So it sounds like boilerplate Thomas Sowell here. When I read this piece, I wasn't like, he's not breaking new ground here. He's just saying, hey, cut it out, Ted Cruz, sort of, you know what I mean? Stop attacking Mitch McConnell.
Right, I thought this piece was less aggressive than his last one. And, and when I was reading the last piece, I sided with Ted Cruz and didn't agree with Thomas Sowell. Right. I think because this one was more moderate, I found a little more ground with it that I could agree with and stand on.
Right.
I definitely agree with Thomas Sowell that when we're faced with a choice between a moderate Republican and a Democrat, if the moderate Republican is measurably more small government, then yes, we should always choose whatever option is available to us that will reduce the scope of government. I don't think we should throw up our hands and just let the Democrats win by not participating. But it's not clear to me that that's the choice here. So, for example, we could support anti-establishment candidates in primaries, and they could be defeated. But in the process of doing that, we could pressure the establishment candidates to be more small government, and we could still vote for them and beat the Democrats.
Well, but here's the thing.
It's more complex than Tom Sewell is making it.
Well, it is, and here's the thing. Like, my initial reaction when people said, oh, we're going to primary Mitch McConnell with this sort of this no-name guy, what's his name, Matt Bevin.
Endorsed by FreedomWorks.
Right, right. Endorsed by FreedomWorks, right, our friends at FreedomWorks. And my initial reaction to that was just the knee-jerk reaction of you know, the anarchists inside me was like, yeah, revolution, you know, throw over the system, you know. And then I started looking into McConnell's record. Now, I wrote a piece, again, you know, blasting Mitch McConnell last year when they did the budget deal about his Kentucky kickback because he brought in all this money for Kentucky, and that was the deal, the dirty deal that he did to sort of to raise the debt ceiling, because he got this, you know, I think billions in dollars for this Kentucky lock and dam project. So I'm not like a Mitch McConnell fan here, but then when I started really digging into this guy's record, he's got a 79% record scorecard, lifetime scorecard at Heritage. He's got around a 70% rating, same over that at FreedomWorks. And I'm just curious here, and somebody asked the same question, why are we targeting Mitch McConnell over Lindsey Graham? Now, some people kind of got ticked off at Rand Paul for endorsing Mitch McConnell, but, you know, Mitch McConnell did help Rand get elected, and it appears as if some of this hatred towards Mitch McConnell is the fact that Mitch McConnell has sort of taken jabs at Ted Cruz. Now, let me read this to you from Hot Air Pundit, and I want to get your view on this. Mitch McConnell has offended conservatives by stabbing Ted Cruz in the back and cutting deals that ran contrary to every principle he stands for. The conservative establishment, quote, is backing unknown Matt Bevin. Bevin has no track record. McConnell has a Heritage Action rating of 80. When the average Republican score is 67, that is not something to ignore. That was Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips who says this. McConnell scored even better with Club for Growth, nabbing an 87% rating on the free market group's issues. This cycle, the club has endorsed Republicans who are challenging incumbents, but Bevin is not among them. So the Club for Growth did not endorse Bevin like FreedomWorks did. Rand Paul, a strong supporter of McConnell, has criticized Bevin, and Rand is 96% on the Heritage Action scorecard. Bevin has never even served in elected office. The Senate Conservatives Fund said a Republican operative backing McConnell is making the same mistake that with Bevin that the National Republican Senatorial Committee made in 2009 with Charlie Crist. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd be interested in hearing Rand's criticisms of Bevin. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree with Sol that now is a very important time to be pragmatic. Mm-hmm. I'm just not entirely sure that Sol persuaded me his means of being pragmatic is most likely to work. Well, so I mean, like I mentioned before, we could primary someone. The primary challenge could be defeated, but we can still vote for the candidate and back the candidate over the Democratic one.
Well, do you think our friends at FreedomWorks are backing Bevin because McConnell has sort of like backlashed against Cruz?
Well, I think, you know, look at the fact that when Ted Cruz forced a debt ceiling vote and forced Republicans to vote based on their actual position and not the one they wanted to look like they were having, then Mitch McConnell crossed over to the Democrats.
So what's so funny here is that in this Hot Air Pundit story, he calls, he's sort of inferring that FreedomWorks is the Republican establishment, the conservative establishment. Which,
who says this?
This guy, Hot Air Pundit, he's the a la pundit guy who writes for Hot Air. And he's, you know, he puts conservative establishment, you know, uppercase, CE, backing unknown Matt Bevin. But he's talking about FreedomWorks.
I don't know that it's much of a criticism to say that someone's unknown, because any new candidate is going to be unknown.
I know, but I wonder what FreedomWorks sees in this guy, this Matt Bevin. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is with Mitch McConnell is that, and this is another topic I want to talk to you about, is why aren't we focusing on Lindsey Graham? You know,
Graham is definitely much more dangerous. Yeah, than
you know
Mitch
what I mean.
McConnell,
like,
no
we as the not conservative establishment, we're the libertarian establishment, perhaps.
Yeah.
We're like the best of the libertarians, which is like, you know, the king of the midgets.
Well,
know?
We are paid by the CIA. So
well,
that's pretty
some people think we are paid by the CIA. CIA, no. It's the Bilderbergs. Yeah. No.
if we have limited resources to fight these races, I mean, like, yeah, you know, take out Mitch McConnell if it seemed like it was the right thing to do. But, I mean, I'm looking at the guy's scorecard. We got bigger fish to fry, it seems. And
that is a good point.
Lindsey Graham, you know, like, we got to beat this guy. You know, he looks like he's going to win his primary with, like, double-digit leads. We can't let that happen.
That's a really good point that, yes, it's while we can afford primary challenges that aren't going to be successful because they can pressure establishment candidates right. to be more small government, uh-huh. we should be careful about what primary fights we pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly agree with you. Lindsey Graham is much more of a problem.
Lindsey Graham is our guy. We got to get that guy. Yeah. You know, he is the guy. He's the anti-libertarian guy. There was an article I want to talk about specifically the issue of Ted Cruz versus Rand Paul now, because there was an article in it looks like the New Republic that came out this morning is fantastic, analyzing the difference mm-hmm. between Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, and what it said was that, you know. The juxtaposition of Rand Paul and Ted Cruz is so interesting because Rand Paul was always the sort of thumb your nose at the establishment guy, you know, the anti-institution guy. Remember when you read those op-eds from college that he wrote in college? He was always bucking right. the establishment, and you know, even bucking sometimes the religious establishment in some ways. And what they were talking about was Ted Cruz, you know, he was Ivy League. You know, he was the guy who was the clerk for Alito. Mm-hmm. And so he was sort of seen as the establishment guy, you know, and now they've both come to Washington and Rand is endorsing McConnell and sort of like taking it easy, taking a back seat on the fight. Like, for example, when Ted Cruz filibustered the debt ceiling, Rand Paul sort of stayed out of that fight. And now Ted Cruz is seen as pissing off all the conservative establishment, and Rand Paul is seen as sort of like okay with the conservative establishment in a sense. Like, they sort of like him a little bit.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Definitely, you know, there's a place for both sorts of strategies, I think, to some extent.
It's kind of weird.
For people who are, you know, on the anti-establishment side, but, you know, some people, a more abrasive strategy might suit them better and get more done. And I think there's a role for example, you know, forcing Republicans who really support a debt ceiling increase to put that on record and vote for it. But also, we do need people who are while fighting the establishment are kind of reaching across the aisle and being a little bit more genial. And I
it's
think
just
that's
we
what
didn't
Rand
expect
Paul's
that
doing.
To be Rand. So yeah. It's weird. Okay, now I want to read this article, a paragraph from this about this, because what's happening is now Rand and Ted are sending jabs at each other. Now, mm-hmm. we expected this to happen because, you know, if they're going to be running, they're going to be going for the same voters.
Right.
Listen to this. For much of the past year, the Cruz versus Paul competition has taken place largely out of public or the Beltway's sight. At Senate Republican conference lunches, during sit-downs with GOP donors, in speeches to Iowa pastors. But last week, it became blaringly obvious. Last Sunday, Cruz went on ABC's This Week, and in the midst of calling Paul a, quote, good friend, trashed the Kentucky senator's less than hawkish foreign policy views, invoking Ronald Reagan and arguing that the United States has a responsibility to defend our values. That led Paul to, one day later, penning an op-ed for Breitbart in which, while not mentioning Cruz by name, he blasted certain hawkish Republicans for wrapping themselves in Reagan's cloak. For good measure, Paul took another shot at Cruz, who frequently mocks Bob Dole and John McCain's unsuccessful presidential campaigns as, quote, standing for nothing by reminding anyone who thinks we will win elections by trashing previous Republican nominees or holding oneself out as some paragon in the mold of Reagan that splintering the party is not the route to victory.
And Reagan's son agreed with Rand Paul.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that. Mm-hmm. With Michael Reagan?
Yes.
Yes. So here we have the civil war in the GOP. It's not just the Republican...
And this is a civil war between conservatives.
This is a civil war. Yeah. This is brother against brother, mm-hmm. you know. I did an interview with Sun News back at CPAC where they asked me about Ted Cruz. And I had to be honest. You know, I like Ted Cruz. But you have to win a general election, you know. And I believe that if Ted Cruz and Rand Paul ran against each other in the Iowa primary today, I would not be surprised to see Ted Cruz win. Because he tends, to me, he does represent that more traditional, orthodox, Republican, conservative value set. And that doesn't mean, that's not necessarily my value set. I'm a very hardcore libertarian. And so I would say that, you know, Rand Paul is more my guy. But the issue is, Ian, is you have to win a general election. And one of the things that they talked about in this article was Rand Paul had a, has a more heterodox set of policy views. And because he's sort of maybe cozied up to the establishment, they might say, he has been able to do things like change Republicans' minds on, number one, drones. Change the public's mind on drones. And two, he's actually started to get Republicans to adopt the issues of drug sentencing guidelines.
Right.
So it seems as if Rand is to me, and I'm not saying this necessarily as a partisan, of Rand partisan, you know, I like the guy, but I'm saying this trying to be objective, that it seems as if Rand does have the more, the better approach if he wants to win a general election. You've got to be able to get these votes. That's what I said in this interview on Sun News, is that I like Ted Cruz, but you have to win a general election. And that's the problem with Ted Cruz, is that, you know, he drives, not only does he drive the Republican establishment crazy, he drives Democrats nuts. They can't stand him. They hate him. But Rand, you know, Bill Maher the other day was talking on his show, Real Time with Bill Maher, that Rand, he would think very seriously about voting for Rand Paul over Hillary Clinton.
Right. There are some sorts of Democrats that Rand is able to appeal to. Yeah. I also, though, think that there are some Democrats who fear Rand Paul much more than they fear Ted Cruz, because they recognize how dangerous he is to their ideas.
Well, to their establishment, yeah.
So, and I mean, it's interesting. You pointed out that, you know, Ted Cruz has something of a pricklier strategy, and I like Ted Cruz, but he's a bit closer to the establishment line than Rand Paul is in terms of his positions. Mm-hmm. So you have an interesting dichotomy there as regards how we go about implementing policies and what policies we hold.
So it seems, I'm reading this in the Washington Post, this is just today, Republicans have seized the edge in the fight for the Senate majority. After the last two Senate elections, this will be the year Charlie Brown finally gets to kick the football, predicted prominent Republican pollster Glenn Bolger. Republicans have more opportunities than they have in the past. The terrible candidates are not catching the better general election candidates napping like they did in cases like Christine O'Donnell and Richard Murdoch. And the National Republican Senatorial Committee is doing a good job ensuring candidates have a stronger digital presence than GOPers have had in the past. And yes, in this analogy, Harry Reid is Lucy, crabby as ever. So Democrats are even acknowledging the problems in the fight for the Senate, but they're doing it privately. This is a Democratic strategist who says, there's no doubt the Senate outlook has deteriorated significantly in the past 6 weeks. Between the map and the Affordable Care Act's unpopularity in the states on the map, it has gone from being a jump ball to advantage Republicans. So we've got to be careful, Ian, because we've got a very fine line to walk here between holding strong to our principles and doing what Thomas Sowell is saying and not trying to fire too much in the tent so that we don't we don't screw ourselves in fighting the real fight, which is to stop Obama, to stop his agenda, to stop his Supreme Court picks, to stop every single liberal judge that he could appoint. And he's still got three more years to go. So we've got a big fight ahead of us. And not only are we fighting the Republicans before we fight the Democrats, but we've got to look at the long ball game here on how to beat the Democrats.
Absolutely. I think we need a pure, in some sense, coalition in order to accomplish that effectively. I think we can't build a coalition with people whose positions don't differ measurably from the Democrats. Mm-hmm. That won't work. Mm-hmm. But I also do agree with Sol that we do, at a certain point, need to kind of stomach the pragmatism of working with people who are a bit more moderate than we'd like, if it will reduce the scope.
But not Lindsey Graham. Not Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham is not one of those.
Lindsey Graham is not one of those people.
More liberal than some Democrats.
He's out. He's out of it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Libertarian Republics podcast, the Freedom Report. We're growing by leaps and bounds. Very exciting. I'm very happy to be back. It's still cold here, guys. I come back from a tropical vacation. It's still freezing. Can we have spring, please? I would really enjoy that.
I think I'm just going to go back to Kansas. The weather here is perpetually terrible. I'm thinking this explains some of our political problems.
You can't
Everyone here is depressed because of the weather all the time.
You can't go back to Kansas, Ian. I got you here for good. We got a lot of work to do. All right. So thank you very much for listening to Freedom Report. Listen, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher. If Stitcher is your app, you can find us there. The new rollout of the Libertarian Republic should be up by the end of this week. So make sure that you check it out. We're going to have lots of exciting new content and a brand new website coming soon, libertyviral.com. You'll definitely want to check that out. So yes, please subscribe and come back to the Libertarian Republic every single day for your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at LibertarianRepublic.com.